Blog Talk Radio.
He is the last of his kind. All that remains of a once powerful nation. Some think he is a myth. Some believe he is the chosen one who will bring balance to a world at war. And some will stop at nothing to destroy him.
We just added all your law dictionaries to Tahawkins Archive. Just click on the link, Law Dictionary. We got your Bloomberry. We got your Oxford. We got your Essentials. We got your Bouvier. And we got Black's Law Dictionary, Volume 1 through 9. Check it out.
One cup of coffee in a cold. I brought the money like your lawyer said.
Welcome, Moors and Moors Talk Live 100. I'm your host, Tahawka Amana L. Bay. And tonight we have a very, very informative broadcast going on this evening. The title of the broadcast is Who Created the Christian Church? Our special guest, Dr. Elihu Pleasant Bay, Grand National Chairman of the Moorish American Government, will be with us, author of the magnanimous book, the Book of Fire, better known as Noble Drew Ali, The Exhuming of a Nation, and also the Book of Ali. We're going to be dealing with the following questions this evening. Do all prophets come out of Egypt? Who created the Christian church? Where did the word church come from in the first place? Where did the foundation of Christianity begin? What is Judaism? Did the Roman government come before the church? What system of government did Europeans have in the beginning? Who will accept Negroes, coloreds, and blacks as a nation? Who was the church designed for? Who was it designed to benefit? Where are the descendants of the United States? Can I be a sovereign? How many flags can a slave have? What is the greatest gift of sovereignty? Can Europeans make anything that lasts? Are black people born? Must we return the church to Europeans? These questions and much more we're going to deal with this evening, ladies and gentlemen. And I want to say that tonight we're offering our free articles as usual. Secrets of America, the 14th Amendment exposed, as well as the commerce game, and the way you access that is simply by contacting me by email at tahawka53@hotmail.com, and I'll rush that to you right away. Also, for those of you who wish to access my archives, you'll go to www.tahawkaarchives.com. That's spelled TahawkaArchives.org, okay? TahawkaArchives.org, and then that way you are able to get in there And as soon as you get in there, the first thing to do is contact me for support and guidance. So if you're working on your debt collectors, or if you're trying to deal with a mortgage company and you're having a hard time, or if you got a student loan, or if you got people calling your house harassing you about a debt, if you're going to set up your estate, your last will and testament, if you're going to deal with your trust, you're going to set up your trust, all of that is right there in that library, and I guide you through that step by step. Now, we're still waiting on the Grand National Chairman to tune in this evening, so you all hold tight for just a second, and as soon as he arrives, we're going to open up the lines so we can get right on in here, okay? So y'all hold your hat for a second.
And why is that the nice doll?
When you go into a house where little babies are growing up, and on the wall is a picture of Jesus and God and all the angels, and none of them look like any of them, and the little babies are saying, you say to the little baby, who is that on the wall? They say, oh, that's God. That's who? That's God. Which one? The one with the blue eyes and the blonde hair. Well, if that's God, who are you? And what is your relationship to him? And then my intelligent friends come along and say, oh, well, that has nothing to do with it. We all understand that was just a reproduction that was done by Raphael or by Michelangelo. And that really was something this is just a symbolic portrayal of the deity. And it has nothing to do with the valid representation of what the deity is. You convince your three-year-old of that lie. You convince your three-year-old that you are pointing to this thing and calling it God, and tell that child that it's not what you represented it as being. That child grows up with the concept that God is a Caucasian. And if God is a Caucasian in a world such as this, in a world such as this, in a world that has been set up on the dialectical opposition between black and white, then the child automatically understands that if this is God represented by white, then I must be the opposite represented by black. And this is how we understand that. And then you wonder why your three-year-old talks about how ugly she is, as beautiful as she is. You wonder why they start telling you at five, Mom, I want my hair straightened. You wonder why they begin to start coming into your room like taxi with white flour or powder, baby powder, all over their faces, talking about, Mama, isn't this color pretty? Because you have worked to build insanity into the minds of your own children.
The human being is the most destructive disease in the society. And I don't mean just disliking blacks and disliking women. I think the loss of respect for the human consciousness, the human moral capability, the human ethical capability, the human philosophical and creativity capability, the loss of respect that makes us then turn our children into automatons and robots and let them follow Nintendo killer games and teaches them that that's the way to become intelligent and alert, to turn them into processes that do nothing but repeat and rotely memorize what someone else is telling you to do. And then make them go eat poison to kill themselves. Make them think that Mickey D's is better than Mama's own cookie. To make them believe that the fatter they are, the healthier they are. To make them believe that somehow they can create reality simply by sitting in front of a television set. Instead, begin to feed young children from day one with a diet of utter violence, vehemence, savagery, brutality, and sexual perversion unheard of on the planet before. And to feed that to young babies and then wonder why babies are going out of killing adults. Because you teach them to do it, fool. That's why they're doing it. Now that's the law. I'm suggesting that there is a fundamental disrespect for the highest expressions of the human capability. And I submit to you that nobody knows those things better than us. Are you saying we're superior? No, we're survivors. And I'm saying that we have a special message for humanity. Why? Simply. If you will simply reflect on the last 40 years of the black community.
Area code 434.
Islam.
Islam, Grand National Chairman. Welcome aboard.
Great. Finally got through.
You finally got through. I saw the number coming through the other end, but I don't know how to get over there.
All is well. I figured it out.
Okay. Well, we're ready to begin. If you would lead us in a little prayer. We can start.
All right. Allah, the Father Universe, the Father of love, truth, peace, freedom, and justice. Allah is my protector and my guide and my salvation by night and by day through his holy prophet, Drew Ali. Amen. Let's begin.
Amen. Okay. Well, the first thing I want to deal with is the subject matter at hand. If you could, exactly who created the Christian church?
Well, that's very easy. It was so continued that out of the four books that Nabu Dwali wrote in the Circle 7 Quran, chapter 46, which is one of his books that he wrote, he says he deals with the beginning of Christianity. And I'll read from it, then I'll expound on it. Here in the first few ayahs, he says that the foundation of Christianity began in Rome. The Roman nation founded the first church, of whom crucified Jesus, Yehoshua of Nazareth, for seeking to redeem his people from under the Roman yoke and law. Okay? So what that means, basically, is that the Roman church was established long before they were able to execute the laws that took the life, if you will, of Yehoshua. With the cross bearing, this is one of the executive laws of command that were under the Roman court that they had already in place, the art of crucifixion for those who were duly convicted of crimes against the Roman government. Or, in other words, the Roman government, whenever it convened, was known as the Senate. All the officials known as the Senate, but when the Senate convened, today we call it the Congress, then they call it the church. And this is where the term church came from in the first place. It had nothing to do with religion, none whatsoever. It was strictly a political gesture or one of the political houses in which the Roman government rested upon. Whenever the senators are convened to have a meeting to discuss whatever political realm that they want to deal with, be it a legislative, dealing with the military, or whatever the case may be, then they convened, and that's what they call the church. And upon this law, when Jews or the brothers of Yehoshua, who people now call Jesus, when his brothers turned him in to the Roman government, that he had violated some of the Roman laws of the Roman church. Because you must remember, Christianity at this time, about 2,000 years ago, did not exist. So all this thing about the Aquarian gospel of Jesus Christ and how he was a little pale-skinned boy by the age of 12 and he went into Egypt and, well, India, and was teaching and teaching to the Christians in Egypt, in India. There was no such thing as Christianity in Egypt or anywhere else on earth during that time. This came during it 200 years after he had given his life, and about 100 years before the coming of the Prophet Muhammad. That's when Christianity first came into picture. But it was all based upon the Roman church, which was strictly political. And that's the reason why they didn't have any, to this day, Christianity, by being founded in the European diaspora, the governments of Rome, Greek or whatever the case may be. That's why you have, they don't, to this day, that's the only religion on earth that do not have any dress codes. They don't have any dietary laws. You can eat what you want to, dress like what you want to, do what you, all you got to do is say you're a Christian and all is well. So, but that's because it was based upon the political substance of Rome and Greece, which was actually governing a portion of Palestine at that time. And what they did is, so you got to remember that the Greeks, as well as the Romans, which were ruling things in East Africa at the time, including the area that we now call Arabia or Mecca, this whole entire area was basically being overruled or ran by the Roman government through its soldiers and articles of war. So, well, it had nothing to do with religion, no, because the Jews themselves was really the only recognized religion under the within the Roman Empire. And they, under the Claudius, which was a Roman general himself, but the they was very treacherous. That's why you had so many different forms of the so-called Judaism. Had so many different forms because some of them submitted to the Roman aggression, and some of them who tried to hold on to the original Torah and the Jewish teaching, they were quickly expelled or ran back into old Canaan. So, but the Roman general itself, the Roman government, that was your first church. That was the first church. And it had nothing to do, Jesus was not a, so-called Jesus was not a Christian. In fact, the word Jesus didn't come along to the 15th century with the letter J. His actual name was Yehoshua. So, you know, it had nothing to do with Christianity.
Well, what about the word church? And who was this thing designed to benefit over here in the United States?
That's the Congress today. In other words, if you really want to see the church in action, I think it was a couple nights ago, President Obama, which we call the Prophet's President, he had made a State of the Nation speech. But if you notice, over his left shoulder was sitting the House Speaker, and he was the one who placed all the kind of opposition. If this was a true government, you would never have anybody come behind the king and say a doggone thing. But in this case, after Obama had his State of the Nation speech, Bain and several other Republicans had the airways for the next day or so, having all kinds of things to say about, and not, you know, and negative about what the president had to say. So what we're saying is that when you have the Congress or the House convene, that's the same modern-day Roman version today as what the Senate or the church was in those days. Today it's called the Congress. When Congress convene and they go through their whatever laws are going to come in, some laws they reject, some they take in part, they say, well, go straighten that out, we might approve it next time. But all that's part of the, if that was 2,000 years ago, it would be called the church. Now it's called the Senate or the Congress.
Okay, so now I need to know, if that's the real church, well, what is this that the people going to every Sunday and jumping up and down and shouting about? What is all of that about?
Well, you got to remember that when the original church founded by the Europeans in Rome and Greece, they had no concept of a God that they could not see. Whatever he had to serve, it must be seen with the physical eye. It must be able to mold and handle with the physical hands. So when they went down to Egypt, starting with Alexander the Greek, they saw that the pharaohs and others was serving these kind of gods that they couldn't see. And it didn't make any sense to them. And the reason why, because the people of Africa were the first people to inhabit the earth. They were, or should I say, the first gods to take on human form. They always had a center. The pale-skinned people, which was cloned later. In fact, they were cloned in the very laboratories of Kemet or Egypt. And but they could give them everything about themselves, the DNA, the clone them, everything, but they could not give them a center. In other words, they could not give them a God spirit, which is a center. Okay? Without the spirit, you cannot sustain things like melanin or pigmentation, as we call it. Okay? So as a result of that, they became a very diseased people, and after a few hundred years, we had to get them out of Africa and take them into the only place that would be conducive to the disease order, and that was Europe.
Okay.
Okay? So with this in mind, when it come down to religion, they didn't have any concept of serving any kind of God that they could not see. And so to this day, everything that Christianity is based upon is handed down by the, in fact, Noble Dwali spoke about that too, and he let you know that these are the teachings that came by the European nations for their earthly salvation, and it was passed on to their descendants, while the Moorish Americans are stemming on earthly and divine salvation because they know about their center, they know about their God status. But the Europeans don't have that. Just to prove it to you, anytime an African and a pale-skinned person, a European, get together, be it male or female, doesn't matter, and make a baby, the baby 100% will always come out African, 100% at the time. And the reason why, because the African is the one that has the center. In other words, the pigment, the melanin, okay?
Okay.
So, and that's the reason why. So that's why the prophet said we don't desire to amalgamate or marry into the pale-skinned nation of Europe, neither serve the gods of their religion, okay? And the reason why, because it was our forefathers that were the founders of the world's very first religious creed. And by that, what it means is that any time all the religions that came out of Africa, whether it went to India or whether it went to China, whether it went to Japan or wherever, they were always taught one thing, that the center of your center was the God that was in you. So at any time you begin to serve any God that was outside of the self, it was classified you as a pagan.
Okay.
Just that simple. You are a pagan. Sometime in the new Islamic world, they call it being, you know, among the unfaithful and all this other kind of stuff. But the truth of the matter is that even those so-called Muslims that's facing a rock five times a day look for Allah, they're pagans too. Anytime you serve any God that's outside of the self, because the nearest place to meet God is in the heart, not the physical heart that's in the chest, but the heart of your thinking.
Okay?
Because that's the pathway from the heart of man to the heart of the great God. That's where you came from in the first place. The spirit. Did that answer the question?
Yeah.
Hope they get taken off.
So I would have to come to the conclusion that the only people that the religion, Christianity, benefits are Caucasians. Is that right?
Oh, without a doubt. For example, I'll prove it to you what you say is true, because right now you can go to any of the churches that our people have right here in the Americas, and every last one of them is serving a God outside itself. They don't know any better, but they got a cross there, and they're serving a European hanging on a cross. That's number one. It's not of their culture, not of their nature. And the cross, if the cross is anywhere else in any other form of God, it would be an electric chair.
Yeah.
It'd be a gas chamber or a firing squad, you know, because it's the instrument of death. So, and the people go there looking for the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, which didn't come about to what, the 15th century. But our people don't know that, because shortly after then they were put in slavery. So that's going to prove that Christianity is from the Pope, who's now stepping down, as they say, you know. But from the Pope on down, they're not serving any God inside of the self. Every God is outside the self. That's why whenever you walk around, his biggest crutch is a cross.
Well, this leads me to the, and ain't no sense in me asking the question, because the only sane thing to do in a situation like this, based on that information, is to give the Christian church back to the Europeans.
Well, that was a direct instruction or order from the Prophet Noble Dwali himself.
Okay.
I mean, straight up. In fact, this right there in the he let you know about the Ten Commandments and how they had taken the laws of Maat out of ancient Kemet, or as they called Egypt, and they misconstrued them from the point of saying, and rather dealing with the self, the I, you start blaming on somebody else outside of self called the thou. Thou should not kill. Thou should not do this. Thou should, you know, meanwhile, you can do anything you want to do as long as thou didn't do it too. So you know, again, it's serving these gods, you know, that's outside of the self. And the prophet strictly forbid them or say, look, you turn the church of Christianity back to the Europeans. Because it was designed for, you know, for them by their forefall for their earthly salvation.
Okay, so now we got this thing that the brothers and sisters are believing in there about the rapture and going to heaven and all of these things.
Well, so, heaven is a state of mind, number one, and as far as you humping the ground and going. It is, if heaven is all that, you're not going to find too many. I've yet to go to a funeral, see a funeral anywhere, and they had a U-Haul truck, you know, connected to the hearse, where you could take all your belongings with you, money included. It don't work that way. So what it's saying is that whatever God you're serving here in the flesh is the same kind of God that you're going to be connected with, or you're going to be in for a big surprise when you get out the flesh, because certain parts of you did not come from the ground, like your thinking, your reasoning, your willing, your understanding, your remembrance, that didn't come from the ground. So
okay.
When probably the vehicle dies, just like any other car, you know, you pull the battery out of a car, it ain't no good to you. In fact, once you turn the key off, the car ain't going nowhere, no way. They're going to stay right there until you use it again. And the body's the same way, because it can't think or reason. So all your capacity to think or reason or understand or remember, all this right here is a part of the soul, actions of the soul. And so therefore, that will not and cannot go to the ground with you. So whatever you're thinking now, yeah, you're going to have to deal with that where you can't hide after you get the body out of the way. You still got to deal with it.
Well, what type of government the Europeans have prior in the beginning? What type of government did they have?
Well, the European government has always been based upon war. They are just a war natured people from the very beginning. The first time they ever seen a building in their lifetime when they went back to Africa, they never seen anything above a mountain. Or above a cave.
Well, wait a minute now, because they're supposed to have built all these castles and stuff they'd be showing us on TV.
Oh, no, that's full of crap. It was the Moors themselves out of Africa that went and built all those castles, okay? From Spain all the way up. In fact, you can't find all the dynasties that was created, including that of the Roman government, was created by the Moors out of Africa. The Rome, they didn't know how to build nothing. They didn't know how to cut marble or make a slate out of a slab of marble. They didn't know how to do that. and much less carry. You got some stones in the pyramid that weigh 40 tons. And they try to blame it on the slave. I don't know no kind of slaves in the world can carry a 40-ton rock to this day. But if you can use the power of thought, then you can change the weight of any living thing. It doesn't make any difference where it is. It can be water, a rock, or anything. You can change the weight of it, move where you want to. And that's how it was that we began to build the dynasties that they have in Europe to this very day. Call them castles, call them monuments, leaning towers, you call them whatever you want to call them. But we're the one that taught them how to do all that, and we did it for them. Now, most of the things that we built in Europe is still standing to this day.
That's very, very interesting.
So you can see that in there. If you study on the Alhambras, which Nova Dualis speaks about that too, you know. You go to Granada, Spain, you go throughout Europe, man. You can't miss the great work. In fact, Yehoshua, Jesus himself, you know, he was over there in France, his own self, London too. He didn't die till he got about 105 years old, and after making five babies.
What about the prophets now? Where did all the prophets come from?
Well, all the prophets are ordained. In other words, there's an appointment from the universal creator. For example, anytime a nation of people is in adversity, then especially or only of African origin of some sort, you got to be people of pigmentation. You can call it Japanese or Chinese or Indian or whatever the case may be. It doesn't matter. But according to all the ancient covenants, then the great God will always formulate in due time, less than a 400-year period, that is, will always raise a one from amongst you that will guide you back right back into the human family of consciousness again. And that's been held true throughout history. The only people on earth that's never had a prophet is the nations of Europe. Every last one, including Levi, he wasn't a prophet either. So, Nostradamus, all that. You can find soothsayers and those that can predict certain things, but that doesn't make you a prophet. It doesn't make you a holy prophet, which is a guide of a people. Okay? And every people that they are born from amongst, like Muhammad was born from amongst the Arabs. But they crazy self, and he had to guide them back because they was worshiping. They had so many idol things that they were worshiping. Man, they're still doing it to this day. Right now, they still look above for a god. But at least they boiled it down to one rock anyway, rather than a whole bunch of. They had about 360 of it one time. But other nations who have ever fallen short of the mark. Of being conscious of their God status, with either enslaved, or, which is a divine punishment, or they was subjected to conquest of another government for a period of time, or there was what's called voluntary servitude for after 7 years or whatever. But the thing about it is that prophets, every prophet there is always been directly connected with Egypt. I'm talking about from far back as Adam to the last one, which is Noble Drew Ali, that was born here in the West. But every prophet in between the two, including Muhammad, Yehoshua, Abraham, King David, Solomon, Hezekiah, whatever. You got 25 of them named in the Quran and about 126 of them in the Bible. Okay? Mm-hmm. So all of these great major and minor prophets, every last one of them either went to Egypt, most of them went to Egypt, or an angel, which is called an Egyptian Adept or Commission Adept master, went to that particular prophet from amongst his own people and taught him there, which was in the case of Muhammad. Now, Yehoshua, Jesus, he went to Egypt even as a child. In fact, his parents took him there because he was already sheiks and sheikhs or the Adept chamber out of Egypt anyway. What they call Joseph and Mary. But they took the child there because Rome was putting the word out there. They were trying to kill this so-called prophet. Well, it actually was the Jews that were trying to do it because they didn't want nobody superseding Moses. okay? And they heard about it. It's about time for another one to show up and put all their teachers to shame. So they were the one that was out there trying to look for and destroy, trying to kill all the little fresh newborn baby boys. Okay?
Okay.
But what they did, they took him into Egypt for refuge. Now, you know he had to be looking like some Egyptian, which had to be looking pretty much 2,000 years ago, had to be very much African because he was a Moabite descent himself. And so he was there way past the age of 12. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Him and his mother and father. And didn't nobody find him. And anybody try to do nothing to him either. And as he went about India and other parts of Africa and including Europe, you know, they knew, but by this time he's a grown man, you know, by the age of 30, before they started something. But every prophet had to go to Egypt, every last one of them, except those, a few, maybe about seven or eight, that actually the angel or the teacher and the Egyptian adept master went to that special prophet, like this so-called angel Jibril. He was an Egyptian adept master, went to Muhammad. 23 years he spent with Muhammad, teaching him the Egyptian or Kemetian or African way of the religion now called Islam, which is actually the religion of peace. Okay? But it took him 23 years to teach Muhammad. Muhammad didn't know. He didn't know from Jack. Okay? But the angel taught him.
Now, I hear a lot of people say talk about these people called God's chosen people. Now, who was that all about? Who are they?
Liars.
Okay.
I mean, you know, what kind of God would you want to have that he's going to just choose some people over another? And he's supposed to be the creator of all of them. Come on now. There's something wrong with that God right there. If he's going to choose, and now, you know, it's just like being a parent. If you're the father, say you got five children, and all of a sudden you say, well, wait a minute, I'm going to choose this one here because all the rest of them, I don't like them.
Okay.
I mean, what kind of father are you going to be? They're all yours. You see? So that's what it is about. Ain't no such thing as God's chosen people. That's a bunch of foolishness.
Okay, so, well, who are the Jews over there in Israel be bowing down at the wall over there? Who's
that? A bunch of liars. They wouldn't know God if it was kiss them in the mouth. For one thing, the original Jews, they'd have ran them clean out of there. The most of them was over there in what is now called Ethiopia. If you really want to see the original one, because they're so sun-kissed, they're the same color both sides of the hand. Just sun-kissed, okay? Those are the original. But the ones that down, if you look, they all of them, most of them are Europeans. That's the government Hitler got all up in their stuff.
Okay.
And that's why they end up with such a military base over there in the middle of the Islamic world called Israel to this day. These are the same ones that Hitler didn't finish polishing off. And they, of all people, they should have enough of gas chambers and destruction. But here they are now, the 10th leading military on earth. Now, how in the world did they get that powerful in less than 60 years? Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Without the help of, what, some other European nations. So now they are really a military base in the center of the Islamic world.
Okay.
But they like killing, man. Them people ain't right.
Okay. Now, what about the United States here now? Where are the descendants of the United States?
The United States ain't got no descendants. I like the way you put that, though. See,
I just wonder where it was.
In, I think it's chapter 40, I think it's 47. When Noble Dali was speaking about the descendant nature, so you are today who your forefathers, your ancient forefathers were yesterday, without a doubt, a contradiction. Okay, There's no one who is able to change man for the descendant nature of his forefathers unless his power extends beyond the great universe of creator himself, okay? So what that means is every nation that you know of has got a descendant nature. You can trace themselves back, okay? You can go to China and they can trace back through the dynasties and you got more Chinese. You can go to Germany, okay? Trace it all back, the Germans. Okay, you see, but you can't trace the United States. How far are you going to trace it back? So when it comes down to being a descendant of the United States, that's an impossibility. Number one, the United States is not a nation. It's a corporation. It's still under the British rule, just like it was when it was colonies, as of, effective as of 1781.
Okay.
It's still a... 1871. I'm sorry, 1871. Okay, it's been a corporation ever since. Okay, so and corporations cannot be nations. They can have little governments and things, as you can see, but they can't be nations because they got no descendant nature. Every nation you know of, every tribe, everybody, you can go to the checker keys or whatever. Everybody got a descendant nature, but not the United States.
Okay. So now that brings me to another question. I need to get a full understanding of this word called Judaism. What's that all about?
Judaism is really, it's supposed to be the name of the religion of the Jews. It's supposed to be a theocratic kind of a government. In other words, when you got a theocracy, which is what we have, the Moorish Americans have, when you have a theocracy, then you have what is known as, you got the great God at the top, you got the holy books and prophets in the middle, and you got the ministers, officials, and citizens at the base. Okay, and that pyramid structure is called a theocratic government. And that's what Judaism is supposed to be. But they made one big mistake, and that was that the members or official or the citizens of Judaism, they call themselves Jews. And what happened, they went through, by the time they ended up with it, you got four different, very obvious divisions of what is called Judaism. But it's not spelled with a U. It's spelled J-E-W-ism, because it's something created by man. It doesn't have a God in front of it. It's all directed by man. Similar to, it's a breakdown of what the original Judas, people of the Judaism really was about, the original ones that came out of Egypt, okay? But they don't have that anywhere. In fact, there's nowhere on the planet true members of the original faith itself. It's been broken up so bad that, it's that you got Judaism, but you don't have Judaism, no kind of way. And they can go to all this dogs in the world, and you can have, and you know, they talk all the, you know, hey, look, Saturday's our holy day, and we don't have no money on Saturday, but they'll beat you out of money the other 6 days of the week. So something wrong with that, you know. Anytime you got a God, you can only serve 2 hours on a Sunday or all day on Saturday, there's something wrong with that God. He can't be around the rest of the time.
Well, what about this word sovereignty?
Sovereignty is a power. Sovereignty is a power. It's a power that is reserved and appointed to all governments to have jurisdiction and rule and protection over its citizens. This is sovereignty. In other words, when you have like, just to take like a tribe, say like Cherokee people, Indian tribe, let's say, I don't like to use that word, but let's just say a tribe, And for whatever reason, as long as everything is going okidori, fine. You know, you got your little dance, your little meetings, and you do your little hunting and things. And when it comes time to move, you go on and move, follow the herds, whatever the case may be, because that's a custom. You got your laws. You got whatever it takes to sustain that tribe of people. But then one of them decided he wanted to go crazy and get to acting crazy. And so the tribe said, look, you're not going according to our customs, our constitution, our laws, and our rules. Get out of here. So they don't give no horse. He ain't got no weapon, nothing. Get out of here. Now, this person has been exiled from the tribe.
Okay.
As a result of that, what power do he have now to protect himself or defend himself when all other tribes run into him? What are they going to do? He's subject to all the misuses and abuses that the other tribes that catch him out there, kill him, stir upon him, ain't nothing he can do about it, because he's not within the sovereign powers and jurisdiction of his own tribe. That's what sovereignty means. It's a power to protect and secure a people. Pardon me. That sovereignty is usually reserved by governments. That's why Noble Dwali pressed upon the Moors, you got to establish yourself a government. It's mentioned five times in his divine constitution. Government, government, government. And but so you would have and know what it's like to be, you know about autonomy, you can have your own sovereignty. And why? Because then you can have your jurisdiction. But instead of that, the Moors want to run in out the courts of the corporate United States. Hollering, we got a group of Moors just last week, a couple weeks ago, up there begging and dropping a bill in the United States Congress about recognition of them as Moorish Americans. And then most of them dealing with different religious groups and organizations of Moors around the country. And, uh-huh. But it ain't no power there. You just suck it up to the old slave master. Master, I'm Moorish American, I'm African. But there's no sovereignty in the United States for the Moorish Americans. You don't want the United States to have no sovereign powers over you. Good gracious, they've had enough slave powers over you as it is.
Mm-hmm. Well,
that's sovereignty. It's the power of the government.
Okay, so that doesn't have anything to do with me sticking my chest out, saying I'm sovereign.
No, if you want to look like an idiot, it's all right. Go ahead, you know. But it don't mean anything. A lot of Moors, we got some Moors out here now that's selling sovereignty.
Oh, is that
yeah,
right?
Man. Oh, yeah, man. A couple hundred dollars, you can get your ID card and some other documents, you know, and you're sovereign. You know? Yeah, you're sovereign. You're indigenous because you're aboriginal. And the thing about it is you're still out there with no government, no nation, no court, no law, no sovereign power, nothing. And whatever decided to come loose and bust you in, the property abuse and misuse, okay? So whoever decided to want to abuse you or misuse you, there you go again. That's why a lot of Moors that lost their money or gained some money out the deal, you can't find them in the United States. They broke to Canada somewhere.
Mm. Well, what's going to become of people of African descent that refuse to get out of the Christianity game?
Well, Mo, I'll put it to you this way. You've got about a little bit better than about 820 concentration camps around the country now.
Mm-hmm.
You've got over 300,000 chattel cars and millions of coffins, disposable coffins, that hold two or three bodies. And this kind of preparation is not for the Mexicans, because the Mexicans got a country, a government. All Mexicans are sovereign some kind of way or another, okay?
Uh-huh.
So I'll give you two guesses as to who this kind of preparation is for, and a second guess don't count. All right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what happens to those who think this is some kind of joke, and they got time to play games of national status and jurisdiction and and running out the European courts and things and play games with each other instead of unifying, coming together, and saving yourselves as a nation of people. That's what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And if you're not real careful, it's going to happen under the Obama administration. And I can tell you how that's going to happen, too, because in a matter of a few weeks, Obama's got to take the United States, corporate United States, to the UN and reveal them and reveal them as such. That's why the Republicans are trying to create a situation to avoid or break apart the Union, just like they did when they had the Civil War.
Right.
Okay? Yeah, that's what they're trying to do that for, okay? So hold on a second. Let me get rid of this thing here. So. Okay. I'm on a conference call. I'll talk with you later. Peace. Okay. So where was I? Dealing with
that, revealing the at the UN, Obama revealing the United Nations Corporation.
Yeah, Obama's got to take the United States to the UN and reveal them as being just a corporation. Okay.
Okay.
Of course, he ain't gonna use language like that. I'm quite sure, because he's a mastermind of words. But that's what it boiled down to. And most of the politicians, especially the Republicans, they're fully aware of this, especially those that's in the seat of power as far as finance goes. Okay?
Okay.
But it must be revealed, because the United States is really back under the rules of and jurisdiction of the U.K. So is Canada, for that matter. If you notice, whenever the Queen or anybody, the rest of them out there, come over here, they visit their own territories, that which they have jurisdiction over, no matter where
right.
they go in the world, it really belongs to them. Okay?
Right.
So in the United States, turned to the U.K. Way back in 1871. You can look it up. It's right there. But Obama, the United States has been operating on the military strength under commander-in-chief, which is another one of his stations. Okay, as being a commander-in-chief of the military. And this is the department that's going to hurt the more if they keep messing around and act like they don't have to unify and come together as a people, okay? He won't be the president, because in type of civil unrest, which is what the Republicans are trying to create, and with the help of the Moors, they're going to help them do that, because the more they create the separation amongst themselves, talking about each other, slandering each other on Facebook and whatnot, then they're playing right into the hands of the Europeans, just like the Jews played into the hands of Hitler. Okay? So when Obama revealed the United States as to what it really is, then they're going to be subject to lose their power seat at the UN and being as part of the council. Okay? Because
that
that's reserved.
That would make the United States a rogue entity.
Yeah, because see, they're really not supposed to be a part of the Security Council. The UK is already there, but the United States and Canada got no business there, because they're both of these are corporations.
Uh-huh.
And that's what it. In fact, I just put an article out today. Give honor to Brother Fox Bay. Where is that the continent of Australia is finally paying some kind of homage to the Aboriginals, the Moors there that was that can trace themselves before a European was a thought of being there. Like, okay, and so now they're just beginning to acknowledge them as a people. And the longevity of their careers as far as being on the continent, okay.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of things is going back, because like the prophet said, Dwali, he said that the Europeans is 3,000 away from home. They're gonna have to take this to water, because this whole continent, all the Americas, it belongs to us. From everything west of Egypt, from West Africa, Northwest South Africa, all the 7,000 islands in the Atlantic, the continents of the Americas, or as far west as the Hawaiian Island, all this is a Mexican, or a Samarca. And our people are too silly to wake up and smell the coffee. Or smell, well, they smell everything else but coffee, I guess.
Mm-hmm. So the Moors should be right now concentrating on declaring their nationality and connecting with an existing Moorish government.
Yeah, right? Brother Doc, you know, I'm glad you mentioned that, Mo, because a lot of Moors, they use that term, declaring your nationality.
Mm-hmm.
And but they're doing it because right now it's just something that sounds slick because most people don't know what it's about.
Okay.
But the matter is, when you have to look at Act 6 of the Divine Constitution that Noble Drew Ali left for to guide his people by, okay? And in Act 6 it says to proclaim your nationality before the government in which you live.
Uh-huh.
Now the matter, you got people that join the Moorish Science Temple that claim the nationality. You got people that want to be nationalized, which is one of the worst crimes that could ever be committed against the people. Take you out of one slot of the slave egg crate and put you in another. Somebody still own you. So when it comes to proclaim your nationality, then you have to, the only place it counts is before your government. That's why we create a census. On the website, themoorishamericangov.org, and thank you for promoting the website too on your network. Thank you. But that's the only place that you can. It's a census, okay? For the first time in 500 years, we have the power to count ourselves on our own free national name, our own free national status. So that's what the registration is for. The census is for. And but that's the only place to proclaim your nationality counts is before the government. You can do anywhere else. Look at all the rest of the countries. All right, a Chinese can go anywhere else, but he can go to Germany and say, "Well, look, I'm a Chinese." Okay, and he might get away with it for a minute, but the German gonna ask, they say, "Well, give me some kind of hookup, some kind of ally connect, something. You look like a Chinese. What proof you got?" So he's going to have to show something. In other words, before he can be naturalized into the this Chinese can be naturalized into the German government. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, exchange his citizenship from China to that of the jurisdiction of Germany. But nationalization is quite another story. You don't want to be nationalized. Because you've already been denationalized once, and for you to voluntarily do it again, it's sickening. But the only place you count for declaring your nationality is before your government. That's why we established the Moorish American government, okay?
Okay.
But our people have a place to proclaim the nationality.
Now... What makes the Moorish American government so unique in the face of the groups, clubs, organizations, Moorish temples, and all of this stuff?
Well, that's the one thing about it is that that's also in one of the four chapters that Noble Drew Ali wrote. He said, in the time fulfilling of the prophecy, he said, look, come and link yourselves with the nations of the earth. Okay, so it's just like any other chain. No matter what a chain is made of, every link must match every other link. That's mm-hmm. why it's called a chain. Okay, so if you want to link yourself with the nations of the earth, then you yourself must be a nation. It's just that simple. Okay, you cannot link yourself with other nations if you call yourself an organization. Or cooperation, or, you know, a religion, or whatever. No. The Pope been trying that for years to be so-called be the only smallest nation on earth. I guess it is. Ain't nobody in there but a bunch of men, or whatever they think they is. So that's not a nation. If you're out of the way, you're going to have a nation. Ain't no women and children. And don't allow no coochie going on. Anyhow.
Okay. Well, what people on the earth will accept? Because we got a lot of people of African descent that's refusing to acknowledge their nationality. What nations on the earth are willing to accept Negroes, coloreds, and blacks as a nation?
None. I'm glad you brought that up, Bo, because the master word you just used was accept. What nation is going to accept a Negro? You have some so-called African Masons right now that declare, look, I'm free, ancient, and accepted. This is their words. You know, they learned it from the European. But the European, he's free. He ain't ancient, but he is accepted, okay, as a nation. Mm-hmm. But a Negro Mason is not free, and neither was Prince Hall, neither is Robert Lovell or John Bay, for that matter, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Not free. They are Negro sure ain't ancient because all of them was made right here in the United States. Every last black person you know was made right here. Okay? I don't care if they want to attach themselves to the Cherokees, the black Cherokees, whatever the case may be, okay? But you cannot derive a history like that. It don't work like that, okay? So what I'm saying is that when it comes down to the nation itself, this is the only way that our people have towards freedom. You got to establish it. And this is not just protocol for the UN, but it's laws that we established that has now been adopted by the United Nations and the other nations of the earth, that if you want to be recognized as the people, you must formulate from amongst yourselves a government. You've got to have self-determination for your entire society or group, if you will. You must have be able to prove that you've got an ancient history. And in other words, you got to have a government, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And in order for you to be recognized as a nation of people. And this is why we set up as a government. I've been to the UN. And the thing about it is, when we got our Declaration of Proclamation accepted by the entire delegation for Geneva, Switzerland, they said they've been waiting for this here nearly 60 years. For our people, everybody know we're here, Mo, okay? Everybody. Every nation on earth, they just wonder, what the heck is wrong with you? Don't you know who you are? Okay? They don't understand what happened that we have undergone what is now known as mental slavery. Okay?
Right.
They don't understand that. How you can come and just take somebody's whole thought pattern, the thought of being free away from them, and they're happy with it. Okay? So the reason why we have a government is so our people have a place that they can come to and say, well, this is home now. This is what I have to come here in order to evade and duck those concentration camps, those disposable coffins, you know, because the United States don't have any schools for you. You can't go nowhere and learn how to be a Moorish American. They don't have any schools because it takes a chicken to teach a chicken how to be a chicken. It takes a Chinese to teach a Chinese how to be a Chinese. So Noble Ali, first conscious Moorish American, left all the holy instructions for us to learn how to be a Moorish American. It takes a Moorish American to teach a Moorish American how to be a Moorish American. Just that simple. So that's what we're doing, okay? And it's going to take that. The Obama administration has been made aware that we're here. Even the Bush administration, for that matter, the last Bush administration anyway. Okay, but it's our own people. And, you know, I'm not trying to make this a public slander, but it's our own people that keeps getting in the way of freedom and progress and unity. They refuse to, you know, accept. They want to go back to the old way. For example, and that's, again, it's not speaking negative about any organization, but the truth of the matter is that the Morris I Temple, for example, that was founded by Noble Dwelly himself, But for the last 82 years since he left, they have not freed not one person, because it's the whole Moore Science Temple, wherever you go, is full of Masons. You can go to the church and find the same thing. Do you think you can find any freedom in the church, or can you find God in the church? No. It's not there. There's no freedom for our people in Western Freemasonry, and there's no God in the church. But everybody's raising their hand, and they're happy. They make a salute, and they fall in the flag of Morocco. Oh, my goodness, don't get me started with that, though. Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this. Can a black man, a black person be born?
No. 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 They got to be made.
Okay.
All people were born, and not, these people are, well, when you are born, for example, okay, it takes the man and woman to get together, and, you know, the sperm goes into the egg, da-da-da, so about a nine-month period of time, say, okay, it's ready. But at that point of readiness, that is, they gave the flesh, so you got the head, the arms, the heart, and all that, the eyes and things, but then it's got to have what is known a spirit, and for it to move with, and it's got to have a soul in order to think, to reason, to will, to understand. Otherwise, the eyes are not going to open. And if they did, it wouldn't see a darn thing. Okay? The hands, well, you have arm, but they wouldn't move because they ain't got no thought pattern to tell them what to do. Okay? So that's called the breath of life. They breathe into the nostrils. There's two areas. You got the spirit in one nostril, and you got the soul in the other one. And then it becomes a living thing. Black people are made. They're not born. Okay? This is the way that you are born, with the breath of life in you. Later on, according to man's law or corporate law, you are made into a black one, like on your birth certificate.
Mm-hmm.
Once they has psyched you to say, well, this is a black baby here, little boy, John Smith Jr., the third, okay? And they put black on the birth certificate, and that's how black people are made. They're not born, okay?
That's right.
God ain't never made no black people and put them on, attached to the human family. Never.
Mm-hmm. Well, Grand National Chairman, we'll take a little break. I got a couple of callers with their hand raised, and as soon as we get through this one little break here, we'll be right back.
Okay.
All right, Mose, it's now official. We just added all your law dictionaries to Hawkins Archive. Just click on the link, Law Dictionary. We got your Bloomberry. We got your Oxford. We got your Essentials. We got your Bouvier. We got Black's Law Dictionary, Volume 1 through 9. Check it out.
One cup of coffee, it has
okay, I'm going to area code 347. What's your question?
Islamo. Yeah, I just have to commend Brother Elo of Pleasant Bay. This is commend to you more. I met you a couple of times in person at different functions, especially at Peter Moon up at the Montag Night up in Hillsville, Long Island, brother. I don't know if you recall, but.
Oh, yeah.
Brother, you do a beautiful job. You do a beautiful job, Mo, and I got to commend you. I read both your books and the Zoom of the Nation, and what I love about the information you drop, which, you know, a lot of our Moorish Science Temple brothers don't seem to realize that C. Kirkman Bay did a damage to the prophet's works, brother, because I did some research up at the Moorish Science Temple collection up in the Schomburg, up in Harlem, New York, on 135th Street. And up in there, brother, you know, I've seen where all kind of works of the prophet was being tampered with. You know, brother, and I really thank you for that, brother. You know, Pleasant Bay, for putting that information out about the 19th 35 rules and regulations, what really shut down Morris Science Temple and reorganized it up under C. Kirkman Bay, who was supposed to be the prophet's right-hand man. You know, and it's just, it's a damn shame, brother, that, you know, it's like the agent provocateurs are just actually just ruined the movement like that. And so you got more of all over the place with these non-for-profit charters, you know what I'm saying, which the prophet did not do that. Because when you read the Circle 7 Quran, it specifically tells you in there that he has the charters are given to every state in the United States. The prophet has the charter, and not to get the charter from the states, brother. So I commend you for that, brother, for dropping those jewels and putting it out there, brother Elihu Pleasant Bay.
Well, you know, Mo, I want to thank you for that. And I want to give an extension of that lesson that you just spoke about where the prophet says that, actually what it reads, it says, the Morris Science Temple of America is a lawfully chartered, that's in the Quran, lawfully chartered organization. He lets you know it's an organization, again, like he did on the Constitution. And the prophet has the charter to issue to every state throughout the United States. In other words, the part that most boys don't realize is that he founded the Morris Science Temple under the charter of the corporate United States, because that's where his people were buried at, under the 14th and 15th Amendment. That wasn't doing them any good. So he had to find the Morris Science Temple there, but all the powers of the organization of Morris Science Temple cannot extend any further than every state of the United States. Don't have no power of its own. That's why every year it's got to register with somewhere within the states of the United States. No matter what temple you belong to, if you want to be legal and function legitimately, you got to register within the state for which you're functioning at, be it Illinois or wherever, Indiana, it don't make no difference. So that's what the prophet meant to say that. And he designed it that way. He found it that way for a reason, because that's where his people were buried at. So that's a very good observation. Thank you. Oh, yeah, I remember very well being there. And you're absolutely right. What you've seen and what you witnessed is absolutely true. It's all. Thank you.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, if any of you have any more questions or comments, go ahead and raise your hand, and we'll see if we can get them answered for you here this evening. Keep in mind to register with your government. Now, this is your government. I mean, all these people classified Negro, colors, and black, here's an opportunity for you to be, for the first time in your life, to be a citizen of a government that belongs to you. And the way to go about registering with that government is to go to www.moorishamericangov.org. I've already put the information in the chat room, and 7 days a week, you can dial into the national conference call by dialing the number 760-569-7100, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 7 days a week. Okay? The Grand National Chairman is the author of two great books, Noble Drew Ali, The Exhuming of a Nation, and The Book of Ali, and also there are Moorish license plates right there that you can get right at moorishamericangov.org. Grand National Chairman, we have another hand raised, and we'll open up the line. 360, could you tell us who you are, where you're calling from, or what's your question or comment?
Yeah, so I'm calling from Washington State Territory, and my question is I've been listening to Dr. Pleasant Bay and intently, and one of the things that I was needed to be aware of or made more informed of, if the United States is working up under the 13th and 14th Amendment. Apparently, this gives them some type of powers, and I don't really know if you're saying that that this is a well, not so much of a rogue government, but it is a corporation. Why would we, as Moorish Americans, have to go ahead and do what the prophet said as far as becoming one nation? And who would we have to become recognized too. We have to become recognized to this American government, or, you know. So I'm just in a confusement of it, and I would ask that the host or host, you know, give us a little information on that. Thank you.
Okay, bud.
All right. Yeah. There's a reason. Thank you so much for the question. There's a reason why Noble Dwali said proclaim your nationality before your government, the government in which you live. You cannot, what we have gone through under the government of the corporate United States, you can't call that living. As the brother said, sing that song, said, that ain't living. So when you proclaim your nationality before your government, when you accept your government, you have built your own government, then you're actually freeing yourself. You cannot free yourself by going to another government and begging them for freedom. It don't work that way. That's like giving them jurisdiction over you again. Okay, if they never had it, they got it now. That's why if you go anywhere in the world as a black man, they own you again because you're still not a nationality. So you volunteer going to another government as property. And we've had entertainers do that and whatnot, military people alike. But the truth of the matter is, when it comes down to recognizing yourself as a people, then you should also, this is reserved for those who realize the importance of having your own government. You must have your government and your own constitution. Noble Dwali designed a beautiful constitution, one of the greatest ones on earth. And this right here is just mandatory. That's what everyone is mandatory for every nation on earth to do, and we are no exception to that since we are the mother and fathers of the entire human family. We're the one that made these laws and made every nation abide by them. And now we're here now coming from the bottom to the top, and the very law that we laid out since ancient times, they're right here, right there preserved for us also. And that's a blessing.
Okay, I hope that answered the brother's question. I'm going to area code 716. 716, could you tell us who you are, which question or comment?
Peace, Dr. Elihu, Pleasant Bay. This is Amira L. from the New York State Republic.
Peace and blessings.
I have a couple of questions. One of them is pertaining to the church. If you can answer, where does it come from with the church when, you know, people are known as, like, speaking in tongues and, the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues. Could you give some clarification on that, please?
You know, I tell you, sis, you remind me of my wife, Mecca. She come up through the Roman, the Catholic order.
Uh-huh.
And when she got introduced into the church, I think she was a teenager, I think, or whatever. She may have been a grown woman by then. But anyway, and she went there, and she heard them talking about washing in the blood. And she got so paranoid. She got paranoid as a goldfish talking about being washed in the blood. So these are terms that you find throughout the church. There's a ton of them. There's too many to even mention. The ones you're speaking about now, they're in the bunch. But they have no bearing on the free national status or the divinity of the people. None whatsoever. It being washed in the blood of Jesus and all this other kind of stuff. And the question that you just brought for, Grace, what was the last one you said? Because I'm so familiar with the thing.
Speaking in tongues.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Speaking in tongues. That'll happen to you when you're having good sex, too. Okay? So, in other words, what happened when...
I just thought I would ask the question because I had invited some people to come on the call, and these are questions that has... been asked to me, and I was a part of the Roman Church, you know, in that body at one time, and I had, you know, some of those experiences. So when I, you know, stopped being affiliated and everything, you know, people, you know, label you as, you done backslid. I said, no, I haven't backslid. I just came to a different knowledge, you know, in a, you know, in a different realm of things, and I'm not a part of that, you know, anymore. So I just, you know, I've invited some people on that's in the Christian, you know, Christianity thing. So I figured maybe if they heard it from someone else, if they are on the call, maybe they would get a better clarification of hearing it from someone that, you know, might not, well, they might not feel like know what they're talking about or something. So.
Well, actually, sis, you can have them trace the Holy Ghost back to the Masonic Lodge back in 1863. Okay, and what happened was the when slavery was abolished, then out of the lodge came what is known as the Ku Klux Klan and other groups of this lodge. In other words, what they did, they formulated themselves with masks, actually over ancient African god, really, but with masks, and they began to put fear into our communities, wherever our people was at, because they didn't have nowhere to go. They got no government, no nation to protect them. So for 100 years, the KKK and other groups put the fear of God in our people. But they are the gods. They call themselves God when they call themselves white. And this is what is meant by the Holy Ghost. It's talking about white people, as they call them, white. Okay. The Noble Dwali said, what title does Satan give himself? And the answer is God. So Europeans, they named themselves white. Okay? As a result of that, they became the holy or pure, okay? And the fear came from the ghost, because our people could not understand how in the world they know what we was talking about. I didn't tell them about it, but the Master John over at the store, my brother Keith was talking about, I don't know what they're doing hanging Keith like that.
Okay.
Because they had the Holy Ghost. Now, again, you must remember when they had that spirit in them, in the church, speaking in tongues and stuff, they got so religious because the spirit that's within them was contacted, and they would blame it on what? Jesus and other unforeseen things. But it's actually the European. This is the God that they would serve, but they don't want to admit that. Yet and still, that same God is on every cross, it's in every home, and in every Bible. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Where the Holy Ghost comes from the Masons.
Okay. All right. And I have one more question, if you will, please. Where does... you know, because this is something that people debate on a lot, too. The bringing the 10% to the church, your tithing, as it's called.
Okay. Oh, when the church, they adopted that much, much later. But that really came out of Africa, even as far back as Egypt, where that it became mandatory for our people, even with the law of the Mayat, that you would contribute so much to the community, to the in a form of service. Okay,
mm-hmm.
That's where it was. Not only there, but even in India, they call it Siva. In Islam, they call it Zakat. And all over the world, in the conscious world, they got ways that they can commit. It's not always about the money. So don't let the 10% fool you to the monetary thing. Most of it is designed to loyalty or faithfulness towards the government, okay, that provides the protection and security for you. To the United States corporate, of course, this later come along with what is called taxes. They're supposed to basically do the same thing, but I was a professor of income tax preparer for years, and that 10% has now looked like 23%.
Okay.
Your normal pay.
Right. Okay, because I've tried to explain different things and, you know, tried to search out, but, you know, if people are gung-ho on what the scripture says in the Bible, you know, you really can't get it through anyone's head, because they're, you know, and myself was included at one time too, but then over the years, you know, like they, you know, go by the Old Testament and Malachi, and then I discovered later in years in the New Testament where, I can't remember exactly where it was now, but it said give according to your ability. So while I was under, you know, that umbrella of the Christian church and stuff, that's what, you know, I would tell people, well, you know, because you have people that could just barely make it, you know, and, you know, they're believing that, well, if I bring my all my tithing and give my 10% when they just barely had enough to eat or barely had enough money to pay their own bills, but they will take 10% of their income and anything else pertaining to money that they received, and they would take 10% and bring that to the church. And I know, like, certain family members, you know, as well as, you know, other family members and friends, that, well, no, you know, if you don't bring that 10%, you're going to be punished and this and that. And I was like, okay, well, y'all just keep on taking your 10%, you know, and I'm going to keep my 10%. I'm going to do what I need to do with it. But, you know, I just wanted to get the clarification so that I would have, you know, something other than just referring to those scriptures as we were known, you know, to read and be locked down to having that fear that, you know, you're not going to be blessed if you don't bring that money to the church. So I just needed more clarification of that, and I thank you very much for the answers to those three questions. And I've been enjoying my Exhuming of the Nation book. And my son called me while I was on the call on my other number. So he told me to give you his regards. He also has your book, too. So peace and love. Thank you.
Peace and love, sister. Thank you.
Okay.
We're going straight over to area code 347. 347, what's your question or comment? You there, 347? Okay. All right. Grand National Chairman, can Europeans make anything that lasts at all? I mean, because I'm looking at the what was built over there in North Africa, up in Egypt, and I'm looking at the buildings and stuff that we build over here, and every few years they got, you know, they deteriorate and they had to tear them down and throw them away. And I want to know if there's anything they can build that lasts.
Well, for one thing, that's why in the Moorish flag you got the star. And the 5 points of the star represents love, truth, peace, freedom, and justice. You'll find that mentioned many times in our Constitution. And the things that we and our ancient forefathers built, including the Moorish American government, the prophet said, I'm going to bring you something you can't tell. So the things that you build with love will last a lot longer than the things that are built with greed or lust, okay? The thing that the European build, since they do not know about divine love, okay, then the things that they build, it don't last. No matter what kind of ship it is or building it is, they have learned some of our own ancient techniques about how to find material that will last. It got staying power. We had one brother that had the ability, a patent, to take just regular dust out of a vacuum cleaner. And by the time he finished mixing the compound with it, it could sustain anything just like a piece of cement.
Uh-huh.
And they were using it to fabricate buildings and other things with it, okay? It was basically trash. But he had found a way to use the compound. But he did it because of the love that he had. He don't know where it come from, okay? But the thing about it is that comes down to the Europeans, they don't have the kind of love for people and their existence. Right now, they're trying to find out how they're more concerned with population control after they messed up everything in the air and the ethers and the water. Okay? They consider it the population control. And they created AIDS and stuff. Oh, man, it's just, they don't, no, they have not built anything that can last. You said the Empire State Building, for example, or other, or the Sears Tower, the Brooklyn Bridge, or the, whatever, you know. And they still want, they're constantly doing repairs, trying to make them last, but they ain't going to last long. They had to tear it down, rebuild another one. Tear it down and rebuild another. Fix it up, tear it down, rebuild another one.
Well, I'm going to go over here to area code 804.
Hey.
Peace, brother.
Yeah. I heard you just mentioned Upper Egypt, right?
Uh-huh.
And it was a blessing, you know, to see all of that stuff up there, you know. I didn't go to Mecca or Jerusalem. I went to the real spot, you know. And I stayed like 5 months the first time, came back for like 6 weeks and went back. And that's where I found myself at, you know. I thought I had knowledge yourself. You'll get it right there. You can go back over there and see it with your old eyes.
Okay. You have a question for the Grand National Chairman?
Yes. Yes, I like for him to build on, right? See how the Hebrews saying that, you know, the black Hebrews, you know, saying that the siege was up in Jerusalem. But I asked him, do he think the siege was really Egypt, Upper Egypt?
Okay.
Okay, well, for one thing, let's deal with the origin of the very name Hebrew. Okay, when you, we always say the word Hebrew is something Hebrewed up. But actually, Hebrew was the name that the ancient Kemetian gave to their slaves. Had the Hebrews been here in the United States, they'd be black people. It's a slave name. Hebrew is a slave name. And this is the reason why, even after the prophet Moses came along, and they had to wander in the wilderness for 40 years plus, a couple of generations, until they could get it right, because they could not go into the promised land with a slave name. There was no such thing as Hebrew land. So therefore, they had to wait until the future generation said, and then they began to sit and wonder, wait a minute. You know what? Our forefather was Moabites, Hittites, and Canaanites, and, you know, and that's when they were able to go into the promised land. Moses couldn't go with them. Okay? So, in more direct answer to your question, when it comes down to the Hebrew, they ain't got nothing common. They tried to create other things under the Hebrew label, but there's no such thing as the Hebrew that can last. They had the Torah, and it's what was written in Hebrew. But again, Hebrew was a slave language. That was a language that was given to slaves, but it's based upon the ancient Kemetian laws, laws of Maat, all of it, from the so-called commandments right on down, okay?
Okay, now, what is the, I hope that answered the brother's question, but what is the greatest gift of sovereignty?
The greatest gift of sovereignty is the protection. The protection that a government gives to its people. It's a lack of guaranteed protection. It's called justice if you want to look at it from a level of principle. Okay, if you put into the government, the love, then the government give back to you the form of protection, and that's called justice.
Okay.
So the greatest gift of sovereignty would be protection. That's why, in fact, you find it in the Moorish prayer when it says, Allah is my protector. That's the first thing before it even says he's my guide, okay? So protection is within the universal order of things. A government ain't about too much if it can't help guide and protect the citizens. That's why you have a constitution law.
All right. Now, ladies and gentlemen, for those of you who are just tuning in, we're listening to the Grand National Chairman of the Moorish American Government, Elihu Pleasant Bey, author of Noble Drew Ali, The Exhuming of the Nation, and The Book of Ali. And for those of you who would like to go ahead, and we're at the hour now where I can't use a statement like, well, if you would like to, you need to go over to the Moorish American Government and register with your government. And when you do that, you need to start dialing into the national conference call. These conference calls are held 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 7 days a week. The telephone number to dial is 760-569-7100. The access code is 437-966-pound. That's the national conference call held 7 days a week, 760-569-7100. Access code 437-966-pound. Okay? Now, Grand National Chairman, I want to ask this question. In your opinion, based on the way things are going now, what do you think will become of the Europeans?
The way things are going now, my personal opinion, although the Pope said we do not desire to amalgamate America to the Protestant nation of Europe, definitely not to serve the gods of their religion, okay? Then what I think is going to happen to the Europeans is that they're going to ultimately go to Europe and do it to their own self what they've been doing to the rest of the world. And those who may be left over, they may be looking for some form of true freedom or true peace rather than a lot of war and turn against each other. If they decide to come out and amalgamate, then they are going to be around 50 years. Because once they reach the level after they can't being able to reproduce, then they cannot reproduce other Europeans, not through the nations of Europe, not through the human family of nations. Because all nations of the human family is of pigment. They have a spirit. They have got a center. So what I think is going to happen to them, ultimately they'll either kill each other or marry off and just disappear like that. Either way, they're going to be out of here.
Hmm. Okay. All right. So, well, we've already dealt with the Negro, coloreds, and blacks, but what lies in the future? Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I'm thinking about the conference call that you just mentioned. We have conference 7 days a week and twice on Sunday.
Okay.
And the reason why, because we have the at 12 o'clock from 12 to 2, we have the children's, the Moorish Children's Sunday School from 12 to 2. And that is the delight within itself. We got some more children there, 8 or 9 years old. They sound like adults, the way they be going through the prophet's lessons and things, you know. It's a blessing. In fact, we got a couple there that's in the age of, 11, getting ready to turn 12, and we're going to welcome them into the divine ministry sometime this year because at the age of 12, then you are going through the age of adult in our culture. And according to the human nature anyway. And so those who got their heads together and lessons together, yeah, we're going to welcome them into the divine ministry at the age of 12. So I would like to, you know, speak about that because, you know, thank you for bringing up the subject matter about the 7 days conference call that we teach our people how to be Moorish American. That's what it's there for. And so thank you. Go ahead.
You're quite welcome. Now, how do you think the rest of the world truly view America today?
It's not good. Noble Drew Ali had prophesied this back in 23, and he said that one day every nation was going to turn against the United States, and the only way they would be able to do business would be with the help of the Moors. And if you look around now, he also said that every nation is seeking peace. But there's only one way that peace can be obtained, and that would be through the teachings and the principles of love, truth, peace, freedom, and justice being taught universally. And we're the only one that's got the flag and the know-how to teach those principles and to bring peace to the rest of the nature of the human family. Only we have that kind of power. So that's the way I see it.
Okay. All right. So do you you think that maybe we will experience some type of foreign attack on our soil?
No, no. The greatest foreign attack we're going to experience is amongst ourselves. We are our own greatest enemy.
Okay.
The United States is definitely not our enemy. In fact, the whole military of the United States government is at the ready right now to defend the North American government and all of its citizens.
Okay. Well, what kind of flag can a slave have? How many flags can a slave have?
You know, I'm sort of glad you asked that, Mo, because we have several groups and organizations, Moors, out here now that's got virtually every kind of flag you can think of. And we had Moors to even at the UN, when they went back, they ended up going back there with, they had the flag of Morocco, which, and the flag of the United States. Now, one of them, the flag of Morocco, was settlers in the, catching and settlers in the slavery, and the United States, under George Washington, Mason, was buying us. Okay? They had those two flags. Then they had the flag, one of the flags of the UK, which had the pine tree in the corner. And they had that at the UN, too. It's called that the Continental Flag. I think Brother Taj Tariq and them had that one. And they said that that was our flag. But see, we were slaves, Mo, when these nations were flying those flags. We were slaves then. Slaves don't have flags. The slaves don't have constitutions. Slaves don't write treaties. I hear more, we got a treaty. We got a treaty of peace and friendship with the United States. Slaves don't write treaties. We didn't write that treaty. That treaty was about us, not for us. What, the 1787, the treaty with Morocco and the United States. That was about us. That was called a treaty of trade and commerce. The biggest business of trade and commerce in 1787 was the West African slave trade. Morocco was selling us into slavery under the Islamic banner of the called Al-Islam. They wouldn't know Islam as a kiss them in the mouth, but that's what they were saying. And was a steady waving that flag too, and Morocco had lost the flag, what, 1904 or something like that. Noble Drew Ali was in Egypt, and by the time he came back through there on the way back into the United States in 1912, Morocco didn't even have their own star. They lost the star in the flag. They didn't get the star back. Even during the days of Noble Drew Ali, Morocco didn't get that star back to 1956. And is, to this day, a corporation under the French protectorate to this day. France just let them use the star for a minute. But he got about five or six different Moroccan flags with the star. Some of them was for the admiralty, but they couldn't even fly it on a, they couldn't fly it on a ship, boat, on the water, nowhere. And so we got certain organizations now that talk about the thing, slaves have flags. And if you read Noble Drew Ali's Divine Constitution, anything that happened from 1779 to 1865 all happened and occurred during the time of our constitutional enslavement here in the United States. Okay? Slaves don't have flags. Well, there was one flag, though. Let me correct that. There was one flag. That's a blank blood red flag. It was actually the flag of Morocco without the star. And they flew the flag anytime they was transporting slaves from one portion of the states or counties or whatever here in the United States. When they was transporting slaves from one place to another, then to let them know that this was a lawfully band of slaves being returned from capture or otherwise for sale or whatever. That's what the blood red banner was flown for. And to this day, when I was coming up, they had me scared to death of reds. Niggas love red. That's all I heard when I was coming. I was born in 1942. And all I heard was niggas love red. I didn't have a clue the reason why they made that statement, because the our flag of our forefather was red, okay? And uh-huh. They flew the red flag without the star over the transportation of the slaves here in the United States. The Moors at the United Nations, they had that flag there also, the blank blood red flag of slavery. They had that one there too. And if you don't believe me, God, I'll email it to you and show you the pictures. But some of my people are sick with that. You know, slaves don't have flags, Mo. Okay. That ain't a slave in history. They got a constitution. There's not a slave in people in history that have ever had their own flag, their own constitution. They don't write treaties because they got no power, no sovereignty, no government. That's why they slaves. Whew. Excuse me, I'm getting crunk up again.
Well, let me ask you this. But before I ask my next question, let me make an announcement. Tomorrow night, ladies and gentlemen, we will have as our special guest here on Morris Talk Live 100, Queen Ayohande Kendi, and explain to us the power of the breathology and healing and different techniques for your healing, herbs and proper foods and different techniques. So please tune in tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and this will be a very, very informative broadcast right here on Morris Talk Live 100. Also, Sunday evening, we will have part three of Morris relationships and marriage between the races. So make sure that you're here at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for that powerful broadcast as well. Now, Grand National Chairman, here's my next question.
Can I give a correction first?
Yes, sir.
Okay. This is not to be offensive, okay? You just mm-hmm. addressed the audience as ladies and gentlemen.
Okay.
Okay. Well, a lady and a gentleman, both of these are Europeans.
Is that right?
Uh-huh. And
I gotta get back in my library.
So I'll leave that alone, you know, for the brothers and sisters, okay? But I just wanted to throw that out there right now, okay?
Okay. Well, I gotta change all that.
Yeah, you really were. That's why they have, when our people was rebelling against the European, they would have ladies. Amongst our sisters, but they call them ladies of the night.
Uh-huh.
Other ladies of the crown, you know, they couldn't meet that. Okay, he was Queen Charlotte. Okay, so and
uh-huh.
a gentleman, that is definitely a European of the highest order. A gentle man. Because I never seen one of them. But, hey, I wouldn't trust
you
either. Okay, go ahead, Mom. I'm sorry about that.
Okay. That's all right. Well, I certainly appreciate that because I got to change that. Now, my next question is, in your opinion, what do you think will become in the future of the black church in America?
What I think is going to come of it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think it's going to dissolve itself along with the rest of the black people and the black everything. You're not going to have a black nothing when the Moors come into their own, because they're going to be so glad to be free. Because black, anything black is further enslavement. I was looking at BET the other night at the Black Awards and things, and it's just more. And the reason why it's being promoted through the media like that is because it's further, it's keeping our people enslaved.
Mm-hmm.
There's no future for black people nowhere on the map. Nowhere. So what's going to happen to them? They're going to dissolve right into the bowels of history. right into Act 6 of the Divine Constitution Bylaws. Because once they find out who they are, there's not a black person on the planet that wouldn't rather die more, die free than live a slave. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And all black people are slaves.
So how would we go about returning, in your opinion, how do you think we should go about returning the Christian church and all its trappings back to the Europeans?
Well, the best way to return the church and Christianity back to the Europeans, as was ordered and instructed by the Prophet Noble Dwali, is to be yourself. Live your life under your own government. Proclaim your nationality and be your own free national self. And you won't have to worry about what the Europeans do, because when you leave it alone, then you're going to let them have their own. It's not going to do them much good, and they ain't got no slave to you know, lick and kiss their boots with, okay?
Mm.
And that's exactly what you're doing when you go to the church and you acknowledge yourself as doing the European cultures. You're really, you know, sucking up to them, kissing their boots, and saying that they're God, they're your master. That's what it's all about. And if you notice, just on every document that they got, you can't even put an application in for a job without it saying black, white, or other.
Uh-huh.
No matter where you go, the Department of Motor Vehicle, the driver's license, same thing.
And that's right.
Determined to try to impose this slave enslavement of the 14th Amendment on an unconscious people. Okay? So the only way out from that, to get rid of it entirely, is to formulate yourself, come under your own government, under your own flag, your own constitution, and even the United States will have to humble itself to recognize who you are, because you're actually their daddy.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, I got one more caller. We're down to about 8 minutes. I'm going to open up this line. Please breathe, breathe. Area code 443, what's your question or comment? Please be brief.
Islam, this is Islam Grand National Chairman. This is Divine Minister Anwar Gwala here, and I'll be brief. The prophet said some of my best morals are in the churches, and you were just talking about the churches. So is there a possibility when those morals that's in the churches that's not conscious of who they are, become conscious of who they are, all these churches standing, and I see this, all these churches standing will become teaching centers for Moors. Islam? Is that a possibility?
You're right. The Prophet did say some of my best Moors are still in the church. And by that, what he meant is just that. Some of the most sincere people on the planet are our people. Some of the most trustworthy people, the most dedicated people on earth, right now they just lost. They don't know which way to go. But when the doors is open up and they'll know that we're here and this is home, you can't find, you won't be able to turn them away with a sword. Okay? So some of the best ones, some of those in the lodge, and I've seen it happen. I've seen brothers come in from the Masonic Lodge. They knew it was something wasn't right, but they didn't know what it was. We got some worshipful masters and brothers in the higher order of masonry. They're in the government right now. You couldn't melt them and pull them out of the government. But it was in the church. The highest order you could be in the church is to be grouped up as an Eastern Star and a Mason.
Well, what you think going to become of the Masons in the future?
Oh, well, the Europeans? Well, they ain't
no,
going to be.
No, the ones look like us.
Well, I just told you what's going to happen to them. They're either going to have to come on in and act right or bye. Because Mr. Obama, I said Mr. Obama, okay, he got something for all the Masons, okay?
Okay. Well, Grand National Chairman, we come down to the end of the broadcast. Do you have any final statements to make?
Did I tell you that Obama and Michelle are both divine ministers of the Moorish American government?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know they are. I know they got everything, all their credentials and everything.
Yes,
I know.
Okay.
what is it that in the last words that you want to leave with the brothers and sisters this evening, the Moors?
Come on home. Come on home to the government and help us, help yourself to formulate this government. And we're building what is called a nation state. By a nation state, we're going back to UN as requested, but we're not going just back there as a nation. We're going as a nation state, meaning that we are collecting all our countries together, most of them, in West Africa, South America, and North America, okay? Every Indian tribe that you know of, all these are Canaanites, every culture, Chavez, everybody's coming in, okay? And that's how we're going back with our allied countries in tow. They're all going to recognize us as not only their mother and father, as Moorish American nationals, as a nation itself. So that's what I have. Those are my parting words. Come on home. The door's open. And leave all the foods out there. Peace.
Okay. All right. Well, Grand National Chairman, we certainly appreciate you being on with us this evening, and I look forward to having you back as my special guest again. And ladies and gentlemen, you can go to register at www.moorishamericangov.org. That's www.moorishamericangov.org, and register with your government. This belongs to you. This is yours. And this is you can interact with the with your government and your government officials. You get to know them. They can get to know you. And that's better than stopping by the White House and getting out your car and trying to walk across the lawn, dodging Secret Services and all that, trying to say hello to the President of the United States and being arrested and put in jail just for showing up, even after you voted for him. So the Moorish American government is right here right now, and you can go register with your government at moorishamericangov.org. And don't forget to call into the National Conference call at 760-569-7100, access code 437-966-pound. Okay? Grand National Chairman, it's been a pleasure.
I'm humble, Mo. Thank you so much, and call me anytime. Peace.
All right, peace. Ladies and gentlemen, I've been your host, Tahaka Amana L. Bay, and until next time, you all have a good evening. No.